670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of Sports Daily, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here. We'll have to forgive the lack of the luau music. Max is still on vacation, probably in Hawaii. Tommy's still not wearing a Hawaiian. But that's okay. Even though Tommy's about to have nobody to tell him that it's not okay for him to wear a Hawaiian shirt to work, he's still not wearing a Hawaiian shirt. But, you know, look, it's okay. It's all right. It's a movement. We've got one more week to convince Tommy to participate, and we'll just have to see if he does.
I'm going to have to see, since I'm sitting in the producer chair this weekend for Max, I got to see if I can find that Hawaiian music. I don't even know. Let me look.
There's no telling where Max keeps all his hidden treasures and secrets. We'll have some fun today. We should be getting a visit from Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, in just a little bit later in this hour. We also have Shreya Slada.
I don't know. I'm going to stop pressing buttons here.
We also have Shreya Slada coming in. Our KU insider will be in to join us. KU on a bye week. We'll kind of take stock of things and get the latest there. We'll also begin to for the Chiefs with a big game against the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be a tough one. We talked about it briefly yesterday. We'll start to look ahead to it here today and some of the other storylines. The Royals fall last night, 2-0, shut out again. It's unraveling quickly. They got a couple of games here to get this turned back around, but it's going to be difficult. Tyreek Hill, who we mentioned yesterday in a little potential hot water legally, we'll go through some new accusations against him. There we go.
It took me a minute, but I found it. Yeah. I got it.
We got it. And then we'll take you through the rest of the headlines. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, WBC Delano's debut brew of Hatfield's Mama, which is a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character, smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. Welcome in. It is Jacob Albrockton, Tommy Caster. Tommy, how are you on this hump day?
Yeah, I'm good. I texted you last night that I feel like I need to give the Royals one of my famous jinxes where I declare the season over because I've done that a couple of times this season, and then they ultimately respond and get right back into it. I probably need to do that again because we're getting right on the brink of things.
They need a Tommy Jinx. For those that don't know, a Tommy Jinx is a declarative statement that is sure to turn things around immediately. It's not just for the Royals that it works. It works in all kinds of scenarios. It has worked in Chiefs situations over the years. So perhaps a Tommy Jinx coming today. I think they need it. I think we're to that time, that nut cutting time, as I like to call it. They better get it together because they're being passed now. A great deal, not just by the team that they're chasing, but by the other two teams, one of which they're playing currently. And it's going to be more and more difficult the longer they refuse to hit the ball, I think, more than anything. So we'll get into all of that today. It's a good Wednesday here. We're in the middle. We're in the thick of the crazy season of football. We've still got baseball, as we're going to talk to the, you know, Shockers probably in a few minutes. We're going to have some basketball talk in there. Injuries in the NFL already rearing their ugly heads. Not just either for the Chiefs. There are some significant injuries we're looking at this week, Tommy, across the league. Here we go. It's week two.
Yeah, it doesn't take that long at all. I mean, obviously, it's a extremely physical sport, so you're going to have players going down, and we've got several of those. George Kittle goes on IR. That was announced yesterday, so the Niners will be without him for a minimum of 4 weeks, and it may be longer. So, yeah, that injury bug has definitely bitten a few teams and a few players here early on.
The Chiefs, the 49ers, who they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be, the Raiders without Brock Bowers, like they're significant injuries right now impacting things, none of which I don't think are affecting Philadelphia, which would be handy right about now if you're a Chiefs fan.
The Chiefs the big Philly news, though, not injury related, but Jalen Carter, I don't know if you saw this, you know, he was ejected from the game before a snap even happened for spitting on Dak Prescott in that opening game on Thursday. The NFL, they ruled that that was essentially a one-game suspension, and they will not suspend him any further, which I do think that sets a pretty dangerous precedent. If somebody gets ejected middle of the game, if the NFL then rules that as basically that's their one-game suspension, I don't love that. I know it would be beneficial to the Chiefs to not have Carter on the field this weekend, but that's not going to happen. He's going to play.
Doesn't the league know that they're supposed to be helping the Chiefs?
Right?
Did they forget that?
They did not get that memo this season. The script writers did not get that into the script.
Maybe T-Swizz can give them a call and see if she can figure something out there on that. And I'm not sure where the miscommunication was on that. That situation was funny to me. I don't care particularly that he spit on Dak. I just like, whatever. It's one of the more disrespectful things, I think. Like that, slap it. Like if you had to power rank the disrespectful, like instant rage fuel things another guy could do to you, that would be up there. That would be up there. Getting slapping somebody like in the face would be up there. So Dak did his job there, but was it something that like Jalen Carter needs to be demonized for? Probably not. I think he missed the whole game. I'll be honest with you, Tommy. If that news didn't come down yesterday, I would have never thought him missing this game was even on the table. I just assumed he'd be back. I had no idea there was the possibility that that could linger into another game. You've got, and here's why I think to the flip side, like Jordan Addison for a DUI has been suspended 3 games, right? You're going to suspend Jalen Carter 2 games for spitting on somebody?
Well, I think here's the issue. So I understand that comparison. And that's a little apples to oranges. The issue that I have with it is that, you can, if you're a player, you can have a unsportsmanlike conduct, type deal, throw a punch, whatever it is, to another player. And if it's middle of the game, look, I just have to be done for the rest of this game. Like there aren't going to be any kind of future consequences that I'm going to have to worry about. I literally am just going to be removed from this particular game. So what happens if what happens if it's a blowout or the game doesn't really matter? You could have some kind of melee free for all. And, players are not going to get apparently suspended longer than the game that they were just ejected from.
Do players ever get suspended for more than one game for punching and being tossed in a game?
I mean, I think so. I think that's.
I'd have to go back and look. I don't recall a getting tossed for throwing a punch and then missing the next game.
What would stop somebody in the third quarter of a 3-touchdown game from throwing a punch, knowing, look, the game's already over. I'm going to go to the locker room, and there will be no ramifications for me moving forward.
Fines.
Okay.
Self-respect. I think the league has to have nuance. There is a different than Myles Garrett swinging his helmet at somebody and Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott look, I don't like it. I think it's stupid that he did it, but I just never thought of it as something that would have him miss another game. It didn't even register to me that was on the table, but he's going to play, and that just makes it even more difficult for the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. But we'll get into that throughout the show today. We'll start to look ahead to that game. What are the Chiefs going to be able to do in their current situation to settle in with that team specifically and what they like to do? We'll get into it. It's all coming for you at Sports Daily. It's a Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. We're coming right back.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Shocker Nation painting the Kansas State Fair black and yellow on Saturday for Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair in Hutch. We're airing a special show live and on-site at the fairgrounds with Wichita State AD Kevin Saul, head coaches Terry Nooner, Brian Green, Christy Breadbinner. I think Coach Lamb is also going to be there. Tune in live to KFH on 97.5 and 1240, or check it out in person live from the House of Capper at the Kansas State Fairgrounds on Saturday, 11 o'clock, the show starts. Come say hi. Joining us now, Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul. Kevin, I'll be there with you. You ready for this thing on Saturday out at the fair? Have you been to the fair yet this year?
I have not been to the fair yet this year. Good morning, guys. But we had a great Shocker day at the fair last year, and look forward to another one this year. I know you got an all-star lineup that gets a whole lot better after my segment. You got Lamb, you got Coach Nooner, Coach Breadbinner, Coach Green. Should be a great show.
I'm so flattered, an all-star lineup. Kevin, I'm sitting right here. I'm blushing. I appreciate that. We'll have some fair food, and we'll have a good time. We'll have a good time. Hopefully people will come out and say hi. We're excited to see, you know, kind of what's cooking for you guys and what has been the opening to the fall season. How is everything going right now?
Well, we're doing great. And Tommy, if you can make it out there, the first funnel cakes are on me.
I love that. I'll do my best.
No, we're doing well, guys. We hosted the JK Gold cross country meet last Saturday and performed pretty well. It was a very soggy and wet course, so it wasn't necessarily for time, but they did a great job competing, competed well, placed well. We've got two or three runners that we think will be, you know, just about as good as any other team's top two or three. And so obviously the depth we'll work on over the course of the season, and conference championships don't happen until early November. But that was a good start to our cross country season. Our women's golf team took fourth up in Lawrence. We talked about that last on your show a couple weeks ago. They took second in Springfield, Missouri this past weekend. Doing really, really well. It's an older group, experienced group. We expect some great things out of women's golf. And then, as you guys know, volleyball is probably performing per the chalk, if you will, if you were to predict early in the season. I think, you know, maybe the loss to Kennesaw State you didn't expect, and the win against Receiving Votes Arkansas you may not have counted on early on, but started off with a tough schedule, 3-2. And these guys are at they've got Radford, Tennessee Tech, and Samford this weekend in Cookeville, Tennessee. So look forward to seeing them compete this weekend.
Yeah, we obviously they're in there, you know, the BYU and the Arc BYU loss, especially. You take them to four sets. I think they're coming along, a young team. I'm with you. I'm excited to see what they do on the road. Seems like an opportunity, not knowing much about Radford, Samford, or Tennessee Tech, but seems like an opportunity for them to get a few wins here. A couple other headline things that have been coming out, Kevin, that we want to give you a chance to give us a little more on. Men's basketball, a couple stories in the last couple weeks since we've talked to you, the Drake charity scrimmage. So what, how did this all come together, and what's happening with this game against Drake?
Sure, absolutely. I think we start with the NCAA rule changes, where you guys know we used to do these closed-door scrimmages for a long time. They give you an opportunity to compete against another Division I opponent in your region, but it was always closed door. You couldn't market it. You couldn't sell tickets. You couldn't provide any stories or media relations components around it. Well, those rules have changed, and now you're granted basically two scrimmages, if you will, that are outside the season ticket package. And we have an opportunity to host one of those at home against Drake on October 11th at 1 o'clock, and should be a great matchup. And I would describe it almost like a spring football game, where you're going to get some skills drills, special teams, certain matchups and scenarios that'll be practiced between each team. The head coaches will work on that format. together, but you're going to get at least 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of what we would call traditional game action as well. I think it's a great opportunity for Shocker Nation to come in and take a look at this year's squad. And the beauty of it is, guys, we're charging $20 a ticket. Again, it's outside the season ticket package. And we're going to cover our game expenses, and then the rest of the proceeds are going to go to the Wichita Children's Home, which you guys know Debbie and Mike Kennedy are heavily involved in. And then also UJump, which Cheese Johnson runs that. You guys are familiar with that organization, supported by Tom and Myra Devlin. So it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. We encourage people to come down October 11th at 1 o'clock.
I think it's a really good idea. I'll just tell you, in my opinion, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea to see the boosters generating season tickets to go out into the community as well. What are we at? Three of those now, three sets of 50, 150 seats per Shocker game.
Yeah, we've got two sets of 50 and one set of 60. Actually, okay. We had a group, the original cup or the Prills increased theirs by 10. So I just think a phenomenal conversation that started with Shane Prill, and Shane and Kyan's courage to step forward and do that has certainly motivated others. We've got two or three other conversations going on concurrently at this point. But for your listeners, it's just been an unbelievable investment in the community. We've had three couples come forward and buy 50 of our cheapest season ticket we've offered in 15 years, guys. It's a $400 season ticket for 17 home games. I think it comes out to about 21, 22 bucks a game. And they bought 50 of those. And the original conversation with Shane was, he wants to support the Shockers financially, which we are incredibly appreciative of, been very generous. But he also wanted to make sure that we had folks in seats, and he wanted to invest in the community. So there were three objectives. And throughout the course of conversations, we connected with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. There's 700 big and little combinations in Wichita, and so we're going to offer that opportunity to them. And then as the Hemp Hills and the Weatherbys stepped forward and did the same thing, obviously there are certain limits or ceilings to how many tickets can get utilized through one organization. So we're starting to bring in other organizations. Yesterday we met with United Way, that's affiliated with over 80 nonprofit organizations. We met with Stand Together, which does great work in the community. And I think we're gonna include the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, and then also veterans in the area as well. So we've got some inventory, guys. I think this is a really creative way to invest in the community, get people in Charles Koch Arena, and provide the financial resources that we need to put championship level teams on the floor. So I'm just really excited about the investment in the community.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm excited about 160 more people being at these games that might not have been there before. Fair yesterday, I was out there and people are asking me, what do we think? What do we think about the team? And it's hard. It's a hard question to answer right now. You know that, because you get asked the question more than we do, because we haven't seen a lot of these players, right? Like we don't know yet. So how do you build the buzz with everybody kind of coming in with a clean slate? And I think this is a good way to do it. You've got an opportunity with an exhibition game. You've got an opportunity maybe that you wouldn't have had because some very generous boosters have stepped to the plate. I think it's all creating a pretty good vibe right now for Shocker men's basketball.
Well, that's good. And we have another opportunity, guys, that I'll plug on September 18th. We have an open practice as well. And so folks can come down to Charles Koch Arena on September 18th for an open practice that afternoon and catch a glimpse of the team. I'll tell you, I get asked that question all the time, as you guys would guess. And, it's a really, really, it's a fun group to be around. They work incredibly hard, and that's not just words on a wall, guys. Like these guys, we've seen guys enter the facility at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to get shots up in the gym. These guys are really dedicated, almost at a level where you say, okay, guys, we got to get to the starting line healthy and fresh. They're working incredibly hard. One of the hardest working teams I've seen in the last decade. So that piece is really good. They enjoy being around each other. We're skilled in areas that we weren't necessarily skilled in last year. We've got a couple of really good bigs. We've got four guys that shot better than 40% from three at their previous school last year. They defend really well. The feedback from the TBT players and Zach was very positive that they were defensively polished. Zach told us we didn't miss one pick and roll coverage in that scrimmage where we beat the TBT team by four. They weren't scared. They were physical. So I think there's a lot of things to be very optimistic and excited about.
Love hearing it. Let's go a little broader. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, joining us here for a few minutes. We appreciate it. Every couple weeks catching up on Shocker Athletics. How's everything coming with the new, you know, layout of college sports for Wichita State? We know there are salary caps being put in place. Everything is being reshuffled a little bit. Every team and school in the country is trying to readjust. How is Wichita State settling into that new frontier that, I mean, it starts now, I guess. We'll probably really start to see it next year, maybe sooner.
Yeah, you know, it's a project and an initiative that, guys, we've known has been coming for over a year. You know, that house settlement has been a discussion for a little over a year now. And so obviously you start planning when you see the elements and the components that are included in the house settlement, such as roster maximums, scholarship limits, the ability to revenue share. And so you want to set up all the infrastructure that you can to be successful and to be competitive and get a competitive edge against your peers. And I think we've done that in some cases. As you guys know, there's more money in the market this year because a lot of schools dumped money prior to the house settlement. And so what we're seeing and reading is that those dollars are probably going to be in the range of 40% less in next year's recruiting cycle. And so I do think it'll come back a little bit more towards normality next year. But I think we're in a really competitive position, guys. And I can't overstate the fact that we have a competitive advantage because we don't have football. Our football peers in the American and the Power Four peers are putting somewhere in the range of 75 to 80% of available resources through the house settlement. That's a $20.5 million cap. They're putting 75 to 80% towards football. You see that. ADs are talking about that. Coaches are talking about that throughout the country, and those percentages are out there. Well, we don't have football, and so we have the ability to put our resources at a disproportional a heavy disproportion towards men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, volleyball, those sports that we're going to be able to invest in that our peers aren't necessarily going to be able to invest in. And I think you'll see that pay dividends over the next couple of seasons as these recruiting classes shake out.
So if that's the number, Kevin, and I don't know how many people are raising $22 million or getting to $22 million, but it leaves, about $4.5 million then, at 20% of that, is that an accurate number? Do you think teams, your peers, are getting to 22, or what do you think the number then after football is for them that you guys can try to beat?
Well, loose, Matt, the cap is 20.5 million this year.
20.5.
Okay, so yep. So if you look at 75 to 80%, that means most of our peers are putting $15 to $16 million into football. Okay, which leaves you, let's just say they're putting 16 into football, that leaves you about $4 million for the rest of your sports. What you're seeing is in that 12 to 15% range for men's basketball. You're seeing a relatively small percentage in women's basketball, and then you'll see a percentage for quote unquote other sports. And I can share with you, based on information that has come out from our peers in the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, peers in the Big 12, we are investing at a level very similar to Power Four peers in sports like baseball, softball, women's basketball. We know we're in the top three in men's basketball in our league, and that's great. That puts us in a position to win league championships. But you guys know the standard is much higher than that. We got to get to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. And if you recall, last year's NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, was all Power Four and Big East. And I don't think it's any shock that you've got to align resources to those expectations. And again, because we don't have football, we can certainly outperform our peers that are putting 12 to 15% in men's basketball.
That's There it is. There's the cabbage, everybody. So we'll see. You're saying the things Shocker fans have been hoping for a long time, that this could create an advantage for men's basketball without football. And we're glad you're open and thinking that way. And I hope it does create the advantage, because, man, if the TBT showed us anything, it's that we're ready to rock and roll with this thing. So, Kevin, we are running up against it. We will all see you on Saturday or hear from you. Again, if you can't make it out to the fairgrounds, the House of Capper, we'll start that show. I'll be there with Kevin and Mike Kennedy and the coaches. That'll be at 11 o'clock. You can also hear it live right here on KFH 97.5, 1240 AM. We'll have some Pronto Pups. I'm a big Gyro fan out there at the fair, Kevin. We'll stuff our faces and have some fun.
All right, first funnel cake's on me, and I'll make a proposal that we transition Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to a Hawaiian shirt at the state fair. So I will commit to wearing my Hawaiian shirt at the state fair if you guys will do the same.
I'll set my reminder right now. I've got a closet full. That's no issue for me. I'll get that set. As long as I remember, I'll have a reminder ready to go. Kevin, we'll talk to you Saturday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We've got Tommy back in now. Tommy, that's the key to it all, is that salary cap and how Wichita State's able to take advantage of not having football. We've been thinking about that, Tommy, for 10 years, right? Like, as long as I've been doing this, it's been sitting there like, man, I remember it first coming up with the joining the American. It's like, man, the resources that can be allocated there. You see what happens with Gonzaga, for instance, or some of these outlier type schools. Now, a lot of them are in the Big East now, but it's like, God, this could be the ticket. And it is a chicken and egg situation. I get it. But I think the community is ready to explode into it. I think we're seeing that with some of these donations that are coming in on season tickets. Vibes are good right now. Vibes are good. Now they just got to go win those basketball games.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a revenue share mindset, you know, the fundraising aspect, all of that, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You can look at it partly as a hurdle to overcome or a challenge to overcome. That's on one side. But the other side is there's a tremendous opportunity to set yourself apart from your peers in your conference and other athletic departments around the country. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. It's not always going to be incredibly easy, but because of the things that you and Kevin just discussed, there is a prime opportunity for Wichita State to really be able to rise to the top, you know, and be the cream of the crop in the American and potentially nationwide.
Can't wait. I cannot wait for it. I am, the things that Kevin just said about the team are the same things I'm hearing from people that have seen them. Exact same things that they got a little bite to them. And that's going to be good to see. So we'll see it all very soon. We will blink and it will be time to already get into that. That scrimmage we were talking about, October 11th. We're like almost exactly a month away from that. Man, good stuff there. All right, we'll come back. Let's start to look ahead to some of the NFL week here. We'll get a recap of the Royals as well. We've got Sharia Slada joining us in the next hour. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. Celebrate.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Castor here. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're glad to be here with you. Thanks to Kevin Saul for stopping by. A lot of good and interesting stuff going on there with Shocker Athletics. And if you want some of the insight onto the salary cap and some of the things happening behind the scenes there, you can go back and listen to that anytime on the Odyssey app. We come back in. Tommy, let's get our Royals talk in now, and we'll shift to football a little bit in the next hour. 2-0 last night to the Guardians. Another really poor offensive effort for Kansas City. They are spiraling a bit here, which was going to happen if they struggled at all in this series because of the way the wild card standings sit. They're now 4 games back of Seattle. They are 2.5 games back of Texas. They are 1.5 games back of Cleveland. We are at 145 games, which means there are, 37 to go?
No, and, way less than that. 17 to go.
17 to go. Yeah. Sorry. 17 to go. And so, 30s, where did 37 come from? 17 to go. We're running out of time here to be 4 games back. It's going to be tough to make up 4 games. Now, the good thing is you do get Seattle. You can sweep them and cover a lot of that ground, but it's got to be a sweep. And the issue now that's raising is there are also 2 other teams ahead of you that you need bad things to happen to. You've got an opportunity to catch Cleveland still, but the team that's beat you the last 2 days, you can catch right back up with them and jump them if you can win the next 2, but you got to have help now with Texas that you can't control. And then you're going to have to basically sweep Seattle. Most likely.
There is a path, but that path is getting significantly more difficult by the day. And I would imagine the odds of them making the playoffs officially are declining by the day as well. They have to have the next 2 games. You drop the first 2 against Cleveland. They have leapfrogged you in the wild card race. You have to get these 2 head-to-head matchups back to get back to having them behind you, looking up at you in the wild card race. Then, as you mentioned, you do play Seattle head-to-head. You have to win all 3 of those games. You could maybe make it happen with 2 of 3, but that there are so few games remaining, you have to take advantage of beating the team that you are chasing in the wild card race in 3 straight games. The good news with Texas is that you do hold the tiebreaker against them. So that is a benefit. So there's a path, but there's a lot that has to fall into place. And it's not even, other teams deciding the Royals' fate. There are 2 clear matchups, one that they're in the middle of right now and one coming up against Seattle. They're must-win situations tonight and tomorrow night against Cleveland, and then the 3-game set against Seattle.
It's going to be tough, and it's going to be tough if they don't play better. We learned yesterday Michael Wacha's going to be out a while. He had a concussion. Something happened off the field.
Yeah, do we know? I don't think they've shared.
I haven't seen.
I read like a minor off-field incident or something like that, and Matt Quatrero said that he's going to be down for at least a week, which is completely terrible and inopportune timing.
I was at the fair all day yesterday, so until you sent me that, I hadn't even heard that that happened. So, look, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very difficult. We're 12-5 seems like the absolute bare minimum, which would get you to 85 wins, which may not be enough. And that'll mean Seattle, Seattle would need to go 8 wins down the stretch. They'd need to have a losing record. Like it is daunting, but it is.
And here's the issue. So Wacha was scheduled to pitch tonight and he's been scratched from that start. The Royals are going to go bullpen game. It looks like Jonathan Bolin is going to get the start tonight for the Royals. And the last time the Royals threw a bullpen game was I think it was the day before the trade deadline. It was right before they went out and got Stephen Kolick and Ryan Burgert, and Bailey Falter. They went and got those 3 guys. They haven't had a bullpen game since then, very end of July, and now they're going to have another bullpen game tonight on the road against a team that you're chasing, and then Stephen Kolick will go tomorrow night for the Royals. So they are hanging on by a thread here, especially when you look at their starting pitching.
Yep, it'll be no bueno, and the problem is the offense right now, even more than at least in this Cleveland series. It's been the offense. Pitching wasn't any good yesterday either, but you got to score more than 0 runs. Which other than a little late surge yesterday is all they've been able to muster in this series. They had an opportunity in the 9th inning. Couldn't get it done. They're making guys like Joey Cantillo look like Cy Young out there. And it's reverted back to this. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I talked to Brandon Zinner about it a little bit in the office. If you looked right now at the Royals lineup and you imagine Jack Caglione being a part of it next year, You're looking at a situation where 5 guys at least are going to be there and you feel good about them, right? Whether you feel good about Jack Caglione, I suppose, is a matter of time. But assuming that he develops into a, you know, a above average big league player, you've got Kyle Isbell roaming center. It doesn't leave much to change, right? Next year, like, what can even be done? Are we done with Jonathan India? And that experience, 2-for-3 yesterday. So if he's in there, that's 6. Like, you're honestly, you're getting into a situation where it's pretty much you've got like a left fielder and that's it. And it sure doesn't feel like just a left fielder is going to fix what has been a chronic problem for this team in consistency all season long. It's a strange thing to think about. I'm not sure what they can do.
Yeah, I disagree with you because I feel like a lot of the inconsistency with the Royals comes from they've had a hodgepodge of players moving all around the field. There hasn't been a whole lot of consistency. And, you know, outside of a couple of positions, you know that Vinny Pasquantino is going to play first base. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to play shortstop. And Salvi is going to play either catcher or first base. And Kyle Isbell in center. Like, that's pretty much it.
And Mikel Garcia at third and Jack Caglione. Yeah,
but they've even moved, you know, Garcia around the field a little bit too. Like, he's played some shortstop. He's, you know, like, there have been some movement, you know, with that. So, you know, Cags is going to play right field and maybe some first base and maybe DH. I think that, you know, that's been a major issue consistency wise. But if you look back to early in the season, there have been a ton of names that have filtered through, especially the outfield with this Royals team, where they could not get it figured out. Guys like MJ Melendez and Drew Waters and John Rave and Tyler Tolbert and, you know, you name it. Like, there have been so many different players that have been out in that outfield. And I feel like things have solidified themselves enough to a point to where, like, I looked at the lineup last night, and outside of, I know Yastrzemski didn't get the start, and I wish he would have, but outside of that, I'm like, yeah, this looks like a pretty solid lineup. Like, they had Randall Grichuk, you know, playing in the outfield. To me, it looks like they have found, generally speaking, their lineup, and it will be great to see, in my opinion, potentially a full season of all of that next season. They haven't had that. Like, it wasn't until really after the trade deadline that I feel like they've been solidified, the addition of Adam Frazier coming in and all of that, where they've been solidified in who they want to have, and they're not just kind of like piecemealing together a lineup as best as they can.
Yeah, I mean, Yastrzemski has
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
3 hits since August 30th, playing almost every day. Didn't play last night. I don't know, man. I want to say that's what confuses me about it, because on paper I do like it, but then we revert back to an offense that is just anemic all the time, like way too often. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think that's the point for me. I agree. Like, There is like 80% of this lineup moves forward to next year, and you feel good about them individually. And then for whatever reason, collectively, they can't score any runs consistently. It is insane. I haven't been able to figure it out all year. No matter what the scenario is, Caglione's development will help, but we're looking at an offense that is, I mean, I think they're the worst offense in the American League. Are they the worst offense in baseball? Not quite. Pittsburgh's worse. But it's close. Like with the names doesn't make any sense.
You're going back all the way to the very beginning of the season. Like I would, the offense, if you go trade deadline moving forward, or even the beginning of July moving forward, they're by far not the worst offense in baseball. Like they have been, I know the last couple of games notwithstanding, but generally speaking, since the 4th of July, since the trade deadline moving forward, they have significantly improved, you know, and even from a power perspective, more home runs. I mean, like they were by far the worst team in baseball at hitting home runs, you know, from the beginning of the season. But if you really, if you shave that off, when I feel like they've stabilized that lineup, and especially, you know, having Cags there and trading for Yastrzemski and trading for Frazier, bringing all of that back in, we saw Vinny Pasquantino heat up. Salvador Perez has heated up. Like, they've been a much better offense. So I think context on that is important. When you're going back to the beginning of the season, remember, they had Hunter Renfroe and MJ Melendez in their opening day starting lineup, right?
You know how many times in the last 11 games they've scored three or more runs?
I get it. Like, they have they've fallen off. They have fallen off in the last week at the most critical time of the season.
2 weeks.
The most critical. I get it.
Competent baseball offenses don't do that.
But you can't take the last 2 weeks and then you can't cherry pick the last 2 weeks and cherry pick the beginning of the regular season when it was nearly a completely different lineup and say, well, just overall, the body of work is the lineup is really bad, because in the middle, it got a whole lot better.
For a minute, it did, but longer it's been
than a minute.
Bad
it's been longer often, than a minute.
It's been bad more often than it's been good this season. I was optimistic too. And then we, like, in the biggest games of the year by far, they fall apart for the last 2 weeks again. And it, like, that shouldn't be happening to a lineup with some of these names in it. Maybe they can turn it around. They're going to have to, because the starting pitching is hanging on by a literal thread.
That's what I'm more concerned about moving forward.
Well, you should be concerned. I mean, we've been concerned. I told you 2 weeks ago we should be concerned about that. It was falling apart then, but they're not getting any help. So now it's just, and that's why we end up with a situation we're in now where they're just desperate to do anything. And
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And again, one thing we do know about the offense especially is it can string it together real quick and in a hurry and put it together for a week or two. But they're going to have to, because they don't have it right now in the rotation. They're just either guys are pitching way over their limits or they're hurt or whatever. Like, they're going to have to score to get this done. And this was a problem, if you remember, at the end of last year too, and into the postseason. They couldn't score any runs either. They've got to go out and find, like, what is the spark plug? Because all the pieces are there in the offense when you look at them individually. What is that missing thing for consistency? Hopefully they can find it over these last 2 weeks. The Royals back in action against Cleveland today. You'll hear the game right here on KFH. See if they can get it done. We'll come back. We got football talk in the next hour. Shreyas Lada joins. Don't go away.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.